Well, part of his rehabilitation, something I was totally unaware of for James Pattinson, was the fact that he was a greyhound trainer. That's right. His brother's a greyhound trainer down there in Victoria, and James was helping him train and walk the dogs.
The greyhounds were chasing him.
Yeah, helping him train and walk the dogs every morning, and it made him realise that how lucky he is to be a professional cricketer. Let's get to our professional cricketer. I think he's still a professional cricketer, isn't he? He's our former test wicketkeeper and Brad Haddon. G'day, Brad.
Morning, guys. That's ex-test cricketer, thank you.
Specialist T20.
Now, that is a
wealthy cricketer.
That is a little bit of cross-training we haven't heard of before, although I guess Ricky Ponting would have done a bit of that, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I think he's taken a leaf out of Ricky's book. It worked for Ricky. So I could just imagine James Pattinson trying to control four or five dogs walking the streets in the morning. So, yeah, that'd be an interesting sight.
Hads, can I start with the sad sort of side of cricket at the moment with this sort of 12 months on from Philip Hughes and just the comments from Neil de Costa, the mentor of Philip Hughes and Michael Clarke, and him saying that he questions whether enough's been done in the 12 months since. And my point earlier in the show is that I think they're unfortunate comments because I think there's been a lot of thought go into what could have changed or what could have been different, what could be added to the helmet, and there has been an option for players. I think one in a million, one in 100 million, another, you know, sort of 200 million deliveries and you mightn't get the same result. It was just one of those things.
Yeah, I agree, Slats. I think it's a pretty uneducated statement from Phil's ex-mentor. I think Cricket Australia have been doing it. They've gone over and beyond to do as much as they can in this space so something like this freak accident doesn't happen again. Mate, we've worked tirelessly on the helmets. They've all got to be passed by a certain standard now. So I think in this space, I think we're doing a great deal to make the game better and hopefully we don't see another incident like this again. So, yeah, I think that comments are a bit off the mark, to be perfectly honest.
The players do seem reluctant to wear that honeycomb drop down at the back of their helmet, Brad. Is it uncomfortable? Does it feel different to you?
I've tried. I think it's just one of those things where it's something new and it takes a long time to get used to. If you go back to Shield cricket now, a lot of the younger guys coming through are all wearing it. I think it's just one of those things that the older guys were so used to and so comfortable in wearing what they had for years. And I think over the next 12 to 18 months, I think most cricketers will have them on it. I think it's just something that they've got to get used to.
Yeah, and I think the older cricketer probably has weighed up the risk-reward scenario with it being restrictive, but also understanding how big the odds are that anything like that can happen. And it's an interesting one, mate. The pink ball, we're seeing it. It's starting tomorrow night. I think we're all looking forward to it, Hads.
Well, I am. I think it's going to be great for the game. I think we might be sitting here and talking in 5 to 10 years' time that this might be a landmark moment like World Series cricket. I haven't missed the game since I retired, but I've got a little few little butterflies in my stomach wishing I was involved in this. It would be great to be involved with something brand new, and who knows where it'll go. This, as I said before, this might be a landmark day, not only Australian cricket, in world cricket, that makes night cricket take off.
I'm with you. I'm excited. I just hope I'm not disappointed. And you know, whether we still feel like we're watching Test match cricket, but Brad, it will be different. I don't think we've got to have mass panic, do we, if we say lose 4 wickets when the lights are on?
I think when the one day cricket comes in, it's no different to playing one days where that dusk period can be a little uncomfortable for half an hour till the natural light goes and the artificial light takes over. So it's no different to that. There's a lot of talk about it. And I think the reason we're talking so much about the dusk period and the ball is because it's so new. No one really knows what's going to happen. But my gut feeling is it's just going to be a good contest between bat and ball. And after what we've seen in Perth, that's all we're after, aren't we?
Yeah. Oh,
I just want to see the ball actually beat the bat on more than one occasion. It'd be good.
Yeah, well, one thing that came out of the Shield game from all the players, and I think that's why Stephen O'Keefe's down there to give Australia the option, is one of the hardest bowlers they found to face were the spinners because they couldn't pick up the seam.
Yes.
But I can't see that to be too big a problem. Steve Smith said he struggled in the first innings of the Shield game, then got it right in the second and got 100. So
right,
I think your best players are going to still perform. And from my point of view, I'm with you, TK. I'm excited about Washington. It's going to be great to sit back at...
How good.
Yeah, night time to come home and watch the game.
Fantastic.
Hads, what balance would you go in for the Australians? Mm. Would you actually play O'Keefe?
I'd be reluctant to play two spinners, to be perfectly honest. But the word is that they're going to leave a bit more grass on the wicket. And if you need an extra spinning option, you've got Voges there, and Steve Smith can also bowl a couple of overs. But I would actually like to see him unleash James Pattinson. I think he brings that aggression that Mitchell Johnson brought to the team. And I think he's a superstar. There's talk he might be underdone, but you can cover that a bit with the all-rounder bowling some overs and just use Patterson for that aggression. So I'd love to see him play.
So does that mean there'd be a double change, mate? Pattinson comes in, Siddle comes in, and Josh Hazlewood, who apparently is redlining as far as workload, does he get a rest in your book?
Yeah, that's an interesting one, that workload and redlining.
Yes, yes. All those modern-day terms, you like that?
Yeah. I thought redlining was when you keep your car in
the car.
If I was Josh, I wouldn't want to be missing this test.
No, me neither.
You've got the opportunity to be involved in something new. If he has to miss a test match, which is not something I like to talk about, well, miss the one against West Indies. I don't think that's going to be a great series. And after what the wicket was like in Perth and all the talk about a little bit more grass on the wicket and the pink ball might move around, mate, if I was Josh, I'd be jumping to get out there.
Mate, you've got Sean Marsh with a wonderful opportunity. It's rare that you get six opportunities. He has to take it this time, I would think.
Well, he does. I think he's had a little bit of a hard run over the last six months because last summer he came off 99, I think, in Melbourne. He got some runs in Sydney. Then, unfortunately, Chris Rogers got hit in the head in the West Indies and he jumped up and opened the batting, and Voges took his chance at five. So he was just starting, I think, to get the hang of Test cricket and get into the rhythm of it. Sean, at his best, is as good as anyone. He's just got to make sure that those good days and bad days are a lot closer together. So, and I hope he does well because he's one of the guys. I know all the guys like playing with him and his brother because they're such a good team there.
Brand, we're going to hear this from Warnie, I imagine, on the Channel 9 commentary, and we were discussing it yesterday on the program. He wants to get rid of the Kookaburra. He wants the Duke ball to be used out here. That's the ball that causes the Aussies so many troubles in the UK. And he also wants test matches from 5 days to 4 days.
Oh, as soon as you mentioned Duke ball, I started to get a cold sweater. I think forever and a day, the Kookaburra ball's been fine, and I don't see there was obviously some issues with it last week, but that can also be a bit of gamesmanship as well. There wasn't much happening in that game, and as you know, as Flats, not much has happened. The first thing we do is blame the ball and try to get it changed to see if we can get it to swing or do something different. But I'm comfortable with the Kookaburra ball and I'm comfortable with 5 day test matches. I think if you go to four, you'd have to bowl more overs in a day. We struggle at the moment to get through the 90 overs anyway. So I'm happy that it's a 5 day game and first class cricket's four.
Yeah, I agree, mate. And you reduce it to four, I think you're probably going to get more draws. We struggle to bowl 90 in a day, and they're thinking of four and adding another 10. I mean, how long do you want a day to be?
Yeah, I heard someone say the other day, it'd be interesting to see your opinion. Do you think that would affect the spinners if it went to 4 days?
Oh, it quite possibly could. I don't think you want to tamper with that. I'm not 100% sure it would, but I don't think you tamper with that.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. No, I think Test cricket stay in five.
Just give the ball, give a pitch a chance, the ball to beat the bat. That's all. Mm. You're still going to have blokes make wonderful hundreds, but you want to see a contest between bat and ball. Mm. Hads.
Yeah.
Well, I think, and finally for me, Hads, just in terms of New Zealand, I think we've seen them fight hard with the bat. I just do question whether they can get 20 wickets.
Yeah, and that's the one thing Australia makes sure when they pick their team. That's why the all-round is so important. I think most teams will get enough runs, but to win test matches, you've got to get 20 wickets. So it'll be interesting to see if Bolt comes up. He's toiled hard without much success, and he probably hasn't been at the top of his game this summer, but this wicket could suit him. And if the ball does start to swing and do a little bit off the wicket, he'll be real hard work. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. You know, I think if he doesn't play, New Zealand might find it hard to get 20 wickets.
Good on you, mate. So you're nice and relaxed?
Mate, always. Not having to get up for test cricket and have that sick feeling in your stomach every morning getting to the game. Mate, it's a great feeling getting up. You go to the gym now just to... Just relax. Vanity rather than to be a better athlete.
And Brad, just rounding off on all things cricket, it's still going to be a separate column on their records, but in the last 24 hours, news coming through that the World Series wickets, so, you know, the guys who in that 1977 period that played all those super test matches and that's all going to be recognised now, but it will be in a separate column to their records.
I think that's great. I think it should be recognised.
Yeah, sure. That was
a landmark day in world cricket, so I think they've done a lot for the game, and their response for a lot how this game's played now. I think they should be recognised.
Yeah, good on your heads. Great to chat, mate.
No worries. Enjoy your day, boys.
Yeah,
you too.
Same with you. We'll talk soon, Brad Haddon. It's great to have him on board.